A.J. Jacobs is an author, editor for Esquire magazine. He wrote one of his books about his experience of reading the entire Encyclopedia Britannica from A to Z. Over a period of 18 months, he accomplished that task in order to, as he put it, learn everything in the world. Well, about 10 years ago, he thought about his religious background, or lack thereof, and he got an idea for another book. Here's how he described this process. He said, "Well, I grew up in a very secular home. I'm officially Jewish, but I'm Jewish in the same way the Olive Garden is an Italian restaurant. I've always assumed religion would just wither away and we'd live in a neo-enlightenment world. I was, of course, spectacularly wrong. So was I missing something essential to being a human, or was half the world deluded? I decided to dive in headfirst," he said, "to try to experience the Bible myself and find out what's good in it and what's maybe not so relevant to the 21st century. My book, The Year of Living Biblically, is about my quest to live the ultimate biblical life, to follow every single rule in the Bible as literally as possible. I obey the famous ones, you know, the Ten Commandments, love thy neighbor, be fruitful and multiply, but also the hundreds of oft-ignored ones, like do not wear clothes of mixed fibers, do not shave your beard, stone adulterers." So, Mr. Jacobs' immersion in the world of the Bible was a curious but sincere attempt to address a question that lives in our minds too. And that question is something like, how is it possible that we might find relevant guidance for our lives today from a 2,000-year-old anthology of foreign history and poetry and preaching? I mean, if nothing else, the situations described in the Bible are foreign to our ears. We are suburbanites. We're not like the impoverished masses of ancient times who were constantly subjected to waves of military conquest, first this way, then that way. Our lives are more stable. We have a fair amount of control over where we live and how we support ourselves. We have the luxury of discretionary income to a small or great degree. We don't live in primitive cities. We don't farm or fish for our livelihoods. We can hardly imagine what it would have been like to be a shepherd abiding in the field, keeping watch over a flock by night, or plying the lake day after day, casting and hauling in and then mending our fishing nets. In today's gospel reading, we heard a verse that is familiar enough to many of us. In fact, its familiarity may cause us to overlook the meaning of a metaphor Jesus used, a metaphor he used urging people to follow his example for living by putting their trust in God. Remember this? "Come to me, all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and put it on you, and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest. For the yoke I will give you is easy, and the load I will put on you is light." Now, although I was born in rural Virginia, and as a kid, I liked reading the Farmer's Almanac, I am certainly not a farmer or a rancher. But even I know that the yoke Jesus was referring to is the collar put around the head of livestock so they can be attached to a load to be pulled, perhaps a plow or a sled or a wagon. And the yoke is where the puller feels the weight, feels the strain. In fact, a yoke is one of the meanings suggested by the stole that ministers wear around the neck. Jesus likened our daily lives to animals slogging through the mire, relentlessly pulling to move a weight from here to there. And individually, we might be bearing loads, such as a lack of self-esteem, concern for the welfare of someone dear to us, the physical exhaustion of tackling seemingly never-ending tasks. But while Jesus knew that people strain daily under such burdens, the load that Jesus was referring to at that moment was something else. He was actually referring to the burden of religious requirements and obligations put upon people who simply wanted to be faithful in living their religion. Not only the obligations of the Ten Commandments, as author A.J. Jacobs acknowledged, but the burden of obeying other rules like being forbidden to eat eagles, vultures, falcons, ravens, ostriches, seagulls, owls, and storks. Or the obligation to make sure that your coats have blue tassels on each corner. Or the stricture forbidding women to have stylish hair and to wear fancy clothes or jewelry. Jesus wanted religious practice to feel like a welcome mat, not an obstacle course. Well, in our modern enlightened world, surely burdensome religious rules and practices don't still happen, do they? Let me ask this. In the next few weeks, how many of you will take advantage of the Lenten fish fries offered by parishes and schools and lodges and restaurants? Come on, come on, come on! I probably will, yeah. Now, why did they become a thing? Because part of the Christian tradition developed a rule that their members would abstain from eating meat on Fridays during Lent. Now, the intent behind this rule was to help believers focus their attention on the bodily sacrifice of Jesus. Focus their attention on that sacrifice. Now, I'm sure that many people do. I also suspect that many abstain from eating meat because their church told them to, and that's good enough for them. Maybe some abstain because they particularly like fish fries. I also presume that some believers in that tradition simply ignore the rule altogether. But it was that kind of religious obligation that Jesus objected to. Practices and rules that, while not bad in and of themselves, they can become obstacles or distractions, rather than aids to help believers align their lives with the will of God. You might remember a gospel story about a day when Jesus and his disciples were going from one place to another, and as they were going, they were walking through a wheat field, and the disciples just kind of dragged their fingers through the stalks of wheat, and some of the grains of wheat popped off and stuck to their hands, and so they popped them in their mouths, a little granola snack as they walked. Some officials of the temple observed this innocent action, and they told Jesus, "Look, your followers are breaking Sabbath rules." What rules? Well, harvesting was a kind of work that was forbidden by the Sabbath. And technically, removing grains from the heads of wheat stalks was harvesting. But listen how Jesus responded to the temple officials. He said, the Sabbath was made to serve us. We weren't made to serve the Sabbath. He was less concerned with whether you complied with a rule and more concerned with whether your spirit was open to being conformed to the grace of God. So now, here we are in a season in the church year called Lent. And just like abstaining from eating meat on Fridays, observing a season called Lent is never mentioned in the Bible. Lent is not a requirement. But the season is offered to us as a motivation to deliberately reflect on the depth, the strength of our faith. We're encouraged to consciously consider how we might bring our lives more in line with God's will for us. And Jesus proposes a way. He says, take my yoke and put it on you. And learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest. For the yoke I give you is easy, and the load I will put on you is light. A scholar has suggested that the word Jesus uses to refer to his disciples didn't mean pupils like those who are to learn by watching and hearing. But he said it meant something more like apprentices. Imagine that for a moment. From Jesus, apprentices were to learn not only to think and believe, but do. As the master of apprentices, the yoke is not one that Jesus imposes, but it's one that he wears. It's as though he's saying, become my yoke mate and learn how to pull the load by working beside me and watching how I do it. The heavy labor will seem lighter when you allow me to help you with it. Jesus' yoke is called easy. The underlying Greek word means kind. I mean, a good yoke is one that is carefully shaped so that there will be a minimum of chafing. Jesus' yoke will be kind to our shoulders, enabling us to carry the load more easily. In this sense alone, his burden will be light. Now, Jesus does not diminish the weight of our accountability to God, but he helps us bear this responsibility. So during this season of Lent, we're invited to discover a different view of what it means to be a religious person. What Jesus offers us is not a vacation from religious expression, but a less complicated, less burdensome way of expressing our trust in God. The easy yoke of Jesus is not an invitation to a life of ease, but deliverance from the artificial burdens of human religion. Because Jesus invites us to learn side by side with him, how to honor and serve God with our lives. Amen.